Today on Real Radio.
Church, listen, Jesus is saying to the world now, as we are here in this 21st century, you better know from the book of Daniel, learn the parable.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. Israel's Messiah explained a lot of things using parables like sin, eternal life, being prepared for death, and the list goes on. Well, now we're taking a look at a section in Matthew's Gospel that addresses the end times and the events that happen during that age. By the way, the time in which we live right now. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Fig Tree.
Jesus saw those walls. Those are literally walls that Jesus saw. That, again, that's part of the Western Retaining Wall, and it is massive. I wish we had we should have superimposed like a semi-truck trailer to show you the massive size. 500 tons, some of the stones weigh. There are two stones, subterranean, that when we go to Israel, we go down underneath that Roman highway right there. There's a Roman roadway. We go down underneath those stones in a tunnel that takes us about 60 feet down to areas of bedrock, and there are two stones there that were brought and put into place by Solomon, not Herod. It goes back to Solomon's day, and the stones are considered the two largest man-made hewn stones on planet Earth. They dwarf the stones at, for example, the pyramids in Egypt. Two largest known stones are cut stones, in the world. Next slide. This is, by the way, when you come up out of that tunnel, you come up and you see these. These are massive. It's hard for you to get a scale or a size to that. Next slide. Well, here's the deal. But here's the deal. There is a national park sign that you can barely see. You'd have to know where to look. But there's a national park sign that announces that. Now you got to remember, this is the Israeli National Park Service. It says right there that these stones came from the top of the Temple Mount when Titus Vespasian of the 5th Roman Legion, General Titus, came and threw down the stones from the temple that was being destroyed, threw down the stones to reclaim the gold that had melted in between them from the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. It tells you right there in 70 AD. You say, well, okay, that's cool. Well, here's what's really cool. That's right, the National Park Service, we were just there a few weeks ago, living proof. In your eyes, Jesus said, not very long from now, these stones are all going to come down. Not one stone's going to be left upon another. Guess what? By the time Rome got done scraping the melted gold and silver out from the cracks, not one of those stones up on top where the temple was left on top of the other. They were all stripped and scraped of the gold and silver, exactly as Jesus said. Absolutely awesome. This is one of those things, of course, you know, more and more, as you read the Bible, more and more, the joy of all this comes true is the fact of the matter that you are not being invited by anybody to put your faith in some storybook fairy tale, but Christians have their faith, as long as it's biblically based, which would make you a Christian, your faith is founded upon the Word of God, the Bible. That's faith founded upon fact. You need to remember that. Don't let somebody push you around about your faith. Oh, you guys, about you, you're blind, you're silly. No. We're Christians because our faith is founded upon fact. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another that shall be thrown down. Verse 3, we are indebted forever to the disciples here. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's just opposite, probably about a quarter of a mile or less from the Temple Mount. Now he's on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, there's three questions they ask if you look carefully. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Not the end of the world, the end of the age as we know it. When will all of man's self-governance conclude and the kingdom be established. That's what they're asking. So church, everybody listen, get your pen ready. They ask three great questions. They're questions that you want to know about. When will the end be? What's going to be the signs? What are going to be the indicators of the very end of all these things coming to pass and your kingdom being established? The first thing out of Jesus' mouth should warn all of us tonight, and please don't forget this. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Don't you think he would have said, watch for this, look for the other thing. You'll see people wearing this, there'll be that. No, he says, watch out that nobody deceives you. And I need to pause right here for a moment. Church, family of God, please spend more time reading your Bibles. Deception is afoot. People are being led astray. And listen, you can get all that you need to be safe to the end if you read your Bible. And you will not be led astray. Jesus is saying, watch out, know the word of God. Why? Verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. There's a promise for you. Many will be deceived. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, ethnos against ethnos, ethnicity against ethnicity, and kingdom against kingdom. That's a reference to world wars. The word kingdom here is political powers on a global scale will war against political powers, and there will be famines, pestilence. Pestilence is incurable diseases, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my namesake. Now, notice this. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, but it's going to go out from the disciples all the way to the age in which you and I live in, all the way to his second coming regarding the establishment of his kingdom. Church, do you have this? Do you get this? This is vital. This is vitally important. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, isn't that interesting? You think it's bad right now where governments and elected officials and the magistrates will not enforce the law? We ain't seen nothing yet. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. That's an awesome reference. Verse 14, mark it down. In Revelation 14, the Bible tells us the answer to Jesus' statement here. Listen, should we try to reach the world with the gospel? Of course, we're mandated to, aren't we? Shouldn't we be going on mission trips and broadcasting through radio and internet around the globe? Yes, but guess what? With all the best efforts and all the technology, somehow we'll probably either fail at it or God's going to make one more great attempt to make sure it all happens, because Revelation chapter 14 tells us that God sends an angel flying through the midst of the atmosphere proclaiming to the world beneath the everlasting gospel, and then the end comes. Wow. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. Verse 15, this is key. Are you ready? Get your highlighter, get your pen, circle verse 15. This is key. Therefore, you see that word therefore? Mark it. This is bam. Jesus is saying, all right, exclamation point. Here it comes. You guys ready? Yes, they would say, because they would have known the book of Daniel. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, that's very specific to the Jewish mind. In other words, when you see the altar of the temple desecrated, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, now that puts it in the context, it's going to transcend 70 AD, this is going to get huge, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, look at this, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea, what does that say, church? Where? Judea. Flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop. Do you guys live on your housetops? No, they do in Israel. Not come down to take anything out of the house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Why? Because you can't run very fast or very far if you're pregnant. We know from the book of Isaiah that God will command the area of Selah, Petra, to be opened for the Jews to flee to when this happens, when they see the abomination of desolation take place. You say, what does that have to do with the parable? It has everything to do with this parable. And you should write in your notes that the book of Daniel chapter 9 is key to what Jesus is speaking about. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Why? Because Judea and Samaria get snow. And when it snows and that, boy, I tell you, when those stones, when that, the whole city's built out of that stuff, if somebody spits on the sidewalk and you step on it, you're going to trip. You're going to go down. It's like ice. And when Jerusalem gets rained on or snowed on, it's like standing on top of an ice cube or ice skates. It's crazy. Isn't it interesting? Jesus says, pray that when this time comes, it's not during the winter. Why? It's so urgent that the Jews escape out of Jerusalem and get out of that area. When what happens? When they see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Church, listen, Jesus is saying to the world now, as we are here in this 21st century, you better know from the book of Daniel, learn the parable. What the desolation that causes abomination means. And I wonder how many Christians today around the world, I wonder if they've read the Bible to realize, I think I better learn this. Have you as a Christian, I thank God, I was born and raised in a church where it was automatic. You just automatically did this. Where you read this, if Jesus said, know therefore and understand, and it came from the book of Daniel, the next thing you're doing is you're turning to the book of Daniel and you're finding out. I hope you're that kind of a Bible student. I hope you're taking Jesus' words seriously. Because he's saying the key's Daniel. And we know that it's Daniel chapter 9 because Daniel chapter 9 refers to this. For then there will be, verse 21, great tribulation, not tribulation. We all have tribulations, troubles and difficulties, but great tribulation. You ought to circle those two words, great tribulation, because it actually means something. Such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days would be shortened, no flesh would survive or be saved. But for the elect's sake, the believers on earth at that time, those days will be shortened. Then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. I'm so glad Jesus said this. Did you know that in 1917, Jesus Christ returned and he's living? Did you know that he's living in a secret place in Brooklyn, New York? Did you know that? Did you know that you're in the millennium right now? That, oh, you didn't know that. That's what the Watchtower teaches. Jehovah's Witnesses believe this. Their prophets said Jesus returned in 1917 and he's in a secret place in Brooklyn, New York. Now, if you're the creator of the universe, would you return and be living all this time in Brooklyn, New York? Isn't it interesting? If somebody says, oh, here's the Christ, or there's the Christ, or look, you can go online and you can find all these Christs that are around the world proclaiming that they're the Messiah, the Savior. You say, that's stupid, that's crazy. Wait a minute, man. I mean, the world looks to political leaders as messiahs, let alone religious leaders. And the world is a sucker for that stuff. Listen, the Germans to this day, I know a lot of Germans. The Germans to this day are ashamed and embarrassed still because they were deceived by Adolf Hitler. They're still shamed by it. Russians are ashamed of Stalin. Still ashamed of it. Because they fell for it. There's something within man that is prone to promises and deliver us from our financial and social issues. Europe, and I forget who it is, you can look it up online. There's a European leader of a European nation who said, literally said, we need someone to deliver us from war and from economic peril. It doesn't matter to us if it's the devil or God. We need a leader. Listen, that's the choices you have. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, warns regarding the last days or the end time events. Now, you're still probably wondering, I don't like this teaching so far because you haven't got to the fun parable part yet. Even when I get to it, I got to be honest and true to the scripture and go right past it. I'll point it out and we'll go right past the drain hole, the centrality of it. We're heading toward it right now. And then we're going to hit it and then we're going to go beyond it because it's so important. It's so vitally important. Verse 24, for false Christ and false prophets will arise. They will, my friends, arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, thank God, if possible, even the elect. Will you circle the word if? Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? It means that the deceivers are going to be so powerful with their signs and wonders. You guys, look at me. Are you listening? You're so quiet. You're listening. Listen. Imagine somebody who you've come out to hear speak, and you've heard stuff, and there's rumors and all this stuff. Oh, man, there's miracles. This guy does miracles. Come on, man. And I could go for a miracle. I mean, my leg's hurting me. I got a headache. Or how about I'm blind? Whatever the need is. And think about it. The bigger the need, the more desperate you are, correct? And the guy is saying, well, you've heard about Jesus, haven't you? Or you've heard about, you know, Rajneesh or Bhagwan. You've heard about the Lord Maitreya. You've heard about these enlightened ones. I'm the guy. I come in the spirit of all those guys. And to prove it, let me pray for you. And can you imagine right now, if we were sitting here, that people who were blind, their eyes would be open. What would you do? What if your child is sitting next to you and your child is blind and the person, your baby's eyes are opened at this person's word? What would you do? All of a sudden, it's personal, isn't it? How bad do you want your child to see? So bad that you'll go for the, listen, you'll tolerate or ignore the doctrine because you saw the sign and the wonder. All of a sudden, we're real quiet in here because if you have a great need, if your son is dying or dead, and this guy throws his body on your dead son that's been dead for an hour and a half, and he says, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And your son jumps up. What are you going to do? You see? What would you do? It's coming, church. Jesus promised it's coming. What would you do? You're going to have to decide between this or what you just saw. And if we're not reading this, you're going down. If you're not reading this, you're going to fall for lesser signs and wonders. The only hope of you enduring to the end is to know this book. And Jesus says, watch out. Listen, Moses did miracles and so did Pharaoh's magicians. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, you're going to see more and more fantastic miracles by false prophets and false teachers. And thank God, look, it says, if possible, the very elect would be deceived. You know what that means? It means it's impossible for the elect to be deceived. It means this, though. The miracles are going to be so persuasive and so powerful that the only way you will not be deceived by them is if you are one of God's kids. And by the way, I'll be specific. Miracles are going to, and these false miracles and these signs are going to increase as we get into the deeper into the last days. But the context is the days leading up to and the days of the tribulation period. Keep that in mind. You need to remember that. Verse 25, see, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he, the Messiah, is in the inner rooms, Brooklyn. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. This is awesome. Please circle that, my friends. This is not referring to the rapture. This is referring to a global appearance of the Messiah in the second coming. We'll read in another place, every eye will see him coming. We know from the book of Revelation that when this is fulfilled, people on earth will weep and they'll be terrified at the coming of the Son of God, the Son of Man. This is not a rapture in the atmosphere where Jesus calls his people to him and then he goes back with them. This is his second coming. All of a sudden now, Bible students, mark this down in your margins or in your notes. Jesus is speaking as he looks over the Temple Mount of Jerusalem, looking at the temple. He announces to his disciples, the temple's going down. Not one stone's going to be left upon another. You're going to need to flee from Judea, and you're going to need to run for your life. And you better pray that you're not hindered in any way, because it's coming. Oh, and by the way, as we get closer to the end, things are going to increase. There's going to be earthquakes, but there'll be more of them. There's going to be famines, but there's going to be more and more and more famines. There's going to be pestilence, plagues and diseases, incurable viruses, but they're going to get bigger and more devastating as time goes on. Jesus is saying this is going to happen. It's always been, but it's going to get so big and so grand. One part of the Gospels tell us that people's hearts will fail them for fear as they see these things happening on earth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Fig Tree. It's a look at a section in Matthew's Gospel that addresses the events that happen in the end times. The Parable of the Fig Tree is actually a part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I have Pastor Jack here in the studio with me. Pastor Jack, I understand that there's an important conference on Israel coming up.
Yeah, you know, every year our facilities here play host to Dr. David Hawking's Hope for Today outreach.
Yeah.
He does a prophecy conference where he brings in some pretty knowledgeable people. One of them is a dear brother and friend. In fact, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, for example, he's an attorney. He's not only an attorney, he's a pastor of the Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, but he's part of the faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, a great brother, a great communicator. Of course, Dr. David Hawking will be speaking, Thomas Ice, David Reagan. David Reagan is a gentleman who many of you know from his television broadcast. David Reagan has the ability to look at world events in light of Bible prophecy, second to none, and no man has ever been known to fall asleep during one of his messages. The guy, I'm telling you, when I grow up, I hope I have as much anointing as energy as Dr.
Okay.
David Reagan. We're going to be having with us a dear brother from England, Dr. Paul Wilkinson, a tremendous speaker, one who, listen, everybody, one who has taken upon himself to really reveal this very, very ugly and insidious vein that is flowing through many churches in the world today, and that is an anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Jew doctrine.
In the church.
In the church.
Yeah.
And Dr. Paul Wilkinson has tremendous presentations on this.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his doctorate in mathematics and science, but he loves the Word of God, tremendous brother. And I tell you what, it's going to be a great time. There'll be other events planned as well. There's no cost for this event. A love offering is going to be taken,
mm-hmm.
but I encourage you to come on out. This is going to be stuff at our time. With what's going on in the world right now, Davey, you can't afford to miss this conference.
When is it?
This conference begins on August 7th, 7th and 8th. And it's right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, right here in Southern California. We hope that if you're within driving distance, or for that matter, listen, every year we have people that come from as far as Canada.
That's
We've
great.
Had people come from Maine.
Yeah, I love it.
To attend this event. So it's an eye-opener for sure.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.